Welcome to Fantastic Females, our adventure to finding the mythical island of freedom together. I'm Kalyani.
And I'm Rupali. We are your next-door finance experts sharing our experiences in the world of money and energetics.
Hi. So today we've got a super exciting episode. Today we are going to be revealing some of the techniques, tools, ideas, thoughts that you can consider to begin and to continue on your investment journey.
Yes, very much. We thought we'll take a break from demystifying finance and bringing our side of mindset into it, and to just take this episode as a way of going into actionable steps that people can follow and share some of our resources that we use. And this has taken us years to build on. Hopefully you'll enjoy this chat and let's get right into it.
Yeah, I think let's maybe you're trading mom.
Yes, so okay.
What I'll do is I'll ask you the questions and you get to answer them and then I'll add my bits as we go along.
Okay, I wasn't prepared for that, but okay, let's do that.
Keeping you on your toes.
Oh, yes. I would like to first of all start with, did you want to ask me a question?
Go for it.
So the very first thing for anyone, where most people tend to get stuck, is just spending some time, having the patience and the inclination to upskill and get knowledge on the topics of finance. Let's just talk about finance. This probably applies to any new skill you want to acquire, but let's keep it more focused.
Yeah. So what mindset do you think people need to have?
Number one, you don't need to know everything on day one, right?
Yes.
I'm sure you come across that a lot as well. You will not become experts overnight.
And you'll never become someone who knows everything, because no one knows everything.
Yes, that's a very key point to kind of accept as well, because like Rupali said, no one really does know anything, and expert energy very much comes from starting somewhere, right? So if you don't start, you don't finish anywhere. I hope that's making sense. But what I mean to say is just start with any mentor, any teacher that resonates with you. As trading mom, this is my mission, to make finance knowledge, trading, investing knowledge especially, really accessible to the masses out there. And I have a few programs that you could engage in. One of them is starting on 11th of April, called Passive Income Masterclass, which takes you over 5 live sessions with me, from having no knowledge in finance to building the right mindset and then taking it forward to more technical analysis, fundamental analysis, which means to be able to choose the companies that you like and invest in them at the right time to create a passive income from stock investments.
Yes, so that was actually going to be my next question in terms of where does one start? So that's amazing that you've got something that you've already packaged for that interaction with you, and it's live interaction, right? So the questions, people can get maximum value out of these conversations and these meetings. And so that's an amazing place to start. I think any skill you do, so even if you're going on a ski holiday, you've got to learn how to ski.
Yes,
so
exactly.
So if you're going to go play tennis, paddle tennis is such a huge thing at the moment. You've got to learn how to do it, right? So similarly with investments, you've got to invest the time and learn, right?
Yeah, this is it. And back to, I think we've referred to the book of The Money Psychology, right?
Psychology of Money.
Thanks. And I think the prologue mentions that health and finance are two topics that everyone is going to come into contact with. If you're born on this planet, then you're going to have to deal with these two topics. So wouldn't you rather, I mean, I don't relate with people who don't want to invest this time or who don't want to know anything else. And I'm wondering if that comes more from either bad experiences or just considering it as too complex for themselves.
A fear. I think it's to do with the fear, because people see charts and numbers and get scared.
Yeah.
But actually it's so like it's pretty straightforward once you learn about it.
Exactly. And I mean, I find charts quite beautiful as well. So there is a possibility that exists in the human mind to find the same things beautiful and creative. So I would invite you to, in whatever way, even if it's by watching YouTube videos of a creator that you enjoy watching videos of, or of course getting in touch with myself, just start somewhere in terms of your learning and do not expect to be an expert expert overnight. Don't expect to be a full finance expert by the end as well. You will have maybe particular knowledge that you tend to focus on, either through your mentor or through your algorithm, if you're choosing to learn by yourself through YouTube or social media. So I think it's good to set that expectation and start somewhere. Number one, right?
Absolutely. I think it's so accessible to everyone. Information, like you mentioned, YouTube. I think what I've noticed in investors or even just people that I know, they seem to want to learn more and do more, but they have this fear of picking up on it. And the issue I feel that I've noticed is this world of instant gratification where, okay, now I've decided to invest, I should know it all.
But yes,
that doesn't work in anything in life, right? Exactly. I mean, yeah, you can shop for shoes and you can have it there and that's instant gratification, but you're not going to be super, as in it's not helping you, or you may not love it 2 days later.
Exactly. So I think we'll come to this a little bit later as well. But once you start, I think it's key to focus on the niche that you have started in. So giving my example, I started with swing trading spread in within the gamut of spread betting. So I wasn't buying and selling stocks, but I was betting on whether they were going up or down. Now, the next person who has been trading for, let's say, decades may have never done this, but they have been creating an income from the stock market as well. So this is just an example for how wide the spectrum is and how seasoned professionals are not experts at everything in finance.
Yes.
So if you've got a path in front of you, or you've chosen a path or a mentor, stick to that, and I will elaborate on this a little later as well.
Yeah, so actually I have a question there. When we say, you know, put the time in and put the effort in, what does that mean? Time. How much time is required for someone who knows close to nothing about investments to be able to start investing?
Yeah, this is a really good question, and I get asked about this a lot. The common wisdom tells us if you spend 10,000 hours, I think it is, on any skill, you become an expert. But from our first point, we've negated the desire to become an expert, right? Like, there is no perfection in this. So I think a good estimate would be somewhere around 70 to 100 hours, if I think about it in terms of hours. And that could mean 1 hour a day for about 3 months, or it could mean 2 hours on a weekend for how many ever weekends that takes us up to. And that's totally based on your lifestyle. And it needs to be sustainable as well. None of this should be seen as a get quick rich scheme, because it's not. It's really not.
No.
So this is to be done with the long-term kind of expectation. It's a marathon, not a race, is something that we hear a lot, but it is absolutely true and applicable in this case. So I think it comes down to that, and a lot of it is to build practice in terms of hearing the same terminology, looking at the same things, and visually being able to capture the data that gives you the right information, and then eventually forming an opinion, right? It's practice of reaching to the point of forming an opinion.
And it's to then be confident about it, right? So that's exactly the part that takes some time. Even though you may know it all, you may be thinking the right way, but you may be thinking the right way, but you may not have the confidence to think you're thinking the right way.
Exactly. This takes me to step number two, which is, as we've spoken about spending time, a big part of spending that time is on research, whether it is looking at charts or reading news.
I actually just want to backtrack, sorry. So that topic about time, where you said 3 months.
Yes.
Right? Just to give some context.
Yes.
We've spent, 12 to 15 years in school and university. Yes. Right? You've spent that time, at least 15 years.
Yes.
And in addition to that, you've got your passive income masterclass.
Yes.
Which is... what is the length?
So it is 5 sessions of 90 minutes each. That takes us to 7.5 hours.
So that's great. So it's not that long for you to be able to... Because I feel like the point I'm trying to make here is, while we have these stats of the number of hours you need, it's very different to have someone handholding you, giving you that information, versus just being on YouTube and online, right? So that's where you can choose to invest your money and time wisely.
Exactly.
Get that packaged in a way where you kind of a few steps ahead of someone who's faffing on the internet trying to figure it out, because we've been through that. You've been through that.
100%. And I think the the biggest challenge we face in today's times is not access to information, but it's access to the right information. And then what comes next is sticking to that information with blinkers on for the rest of the world, if I can say. What I mean by that is that I started my journey as the next retail investor by being interested and looking at videos on YouTube. YouTube obviously clocks on to the algorithm and starts throwing stuff at me. And then as a newcomer, I could find everything interesting as I did and everything doable as I did. And that leads to a lot of confusion because all strategies have different outcomes and different expectations in terms of how long they expect you to sit on the desk, how much money you should put in. Maybe some are more upward focused, some are more shorting focused, so on and so forth. Some have communities associated to them. So you could sign up to 50 communities and get 50 times more confused than the person who just sticks to one community and focuses on perfecting their style instead of moving style to style. So this was actually something that I wanted to bring up later, but since we are in the conversation now, I think this is probably the next key in terms of holding people back from success. So the first, I think, factor that holds people back is inability or lack of confidence in starting.
Yes.
Once they start, I think the second thing is having this consistency with the strategy that they've learned. And I would suggest after you've learned a strategy, practiced it for roughly 3 months, like we said, then at least to give that 6 months to play it out, to play out in the markets, to play out with your emotions, to see your trades through the whole cycle before you make a decision whether it's for you or not. And I've been in a place where you might be, or you might see yourself where you sign up to too many things and you think that it's all doable. Before the market opens, you can do one strategy and keep it ready for when the market opens. And when the market is open during the market hours, you can do another strategy, which is more hands-on, and sit on your screen for, let's say, a couple of hours. But very honestly, in my personal experience, these two require different mindsets and very different personalities. So the one that is mostly kind of based on research outside of the market is for someone who's a little more risk averse, who's a little more cautious and wants to generate a passive income from that mindset. Whereas people who are day trading more so and sitting on the screens watching the charts go up and down are massive risk takers, and they're okay with losing big and earning big. So it really does come down to your personality, and one strategy may not suit, and two strategies may not suit the same person, even though they are advertised to be these massive gains.
Exactly. So basically the 3 months that you're seeing, you're getting to learn about your personality in terms of investments, right? We think we know ourselves in other areas of life, but you don't know how you're going to behave when you're seeing the numbers go up and down.
Seriously.
And so once you learn that, that's when you're more empowered to have that confidence to let it play out.
Yes, absolutely. This is a big one. You do really learn about how you're going to behave. Sometimes if one of the ways of trading is not suiting you, it could really put you off. There were times in my journey where I was getting so anxious of just sitting on my system to trade, which was what I really enjoyed otherwise. So you never want to get to that point because of a choice that you've made, watching people earn from that strategy instead of doing it from a place of you enjoying it. So I think step number one, start learning.
Yes.
Step number two, stay consistent. Now let's focus on step number three in terms of keeping on top of research news. Rupali, you've got a lot to say on this.
Yes, so that's all I've done in my career, research. And so my view of it is slightly different to someone who's had no experience or exposure, but there's many websites in terms of, you know, just tools that you can tap into. Like we said, it's important to be consistent with your sources. While it's good to always keep track of consistent bits of information, it's always nice to check every now and then different sources, because you don't know what mindset the person who has who's writing the research is coming from, right? So yeah. You want kind of a more holistic view of what the topic is. And so when I'm researching, I try and research all aspects of it, and then I make a conclusion in terms of what I'm taking from this information.
Yeah, and would you say this goes in the time that we spoke about earlier in terms of getting your confidence, getting that consistency? So the 3 months would include this time as well of familiarizing?
Absolutely. So the 3 months are not not time that you are studying a textbook
yes.
at all.
Yes.
It's more just living and being in it all and yes. really just sitting with that information and processing how you'd like to process it.
Yeah, exactly. And once again, coming back to access of information, these days you can find opinions that are totally extreme on the spectrum at any given point, right?
Yes.
Like today, you could find one person who's totally bullish while another person
absolutely
with full credibility in terms of their history who's totally bearish.
Yeah, both could be big players.
Yeah, so all of this comes down to building conviction in your opinion, right?
Yes. And so to build conviction, you want to be confident, you want to feel like you have enough information.
Yes.
And enough is not all.
Because
it's physically not possible to read everything, listen to everything, to be able to be say, okay, now I know it all. Because it's too late by then. You're not going to get there.
Yes, it's very much. We are repeating ourselves, but both Rupali and I are, type A personalities who like to tick things off and feel like we've done everything before we make our decision. But from our experience, we've learned that that's a lot of pressure to put on ourselves, especially in these times where information is it's everywhere and cheaply available.
I want to bring the mindset part of it in terms of what type of person is the one that feels like they need to read it all to say they know it all, right?
Yeah.
Is that not from a whole wanting to perfect it, wanting to show that I know it all versus actually knowing it all?
Yeah, totally. And I think both of us have been there, and having this podcast and sharing our knowledge, our thoughts is a part of kind of dealing with this tendency. And doing away with it little by little, episode by episode. So that is one thing that we would really like to stress in terms of not having the pressure to read everything, but reading key pieces of information that help you form that opinion. And that then once you form that opinion, and with the time that you give yourself to see your strategies play out, it really does. I mean, markets are really interesting in the way that they play out. And there's always flux, there's always change. And you can really see how your opinion could, you know, it leads to the next step. And I find that really interesting.
Yeah, it's so interlinked. And there's so much out there. So what are some of the research sites that are accessible to the retail investor, Kalyani? What do you kind of look at?
Yeah.
Let's say you wake up this morning, you want to know what happened in the markets yesterday. A lot's been happening. So it's great to see that first thing in the morning. But where do you start?
Number one, I don't look at it first thing in the morning.
Okay, second thing.
Not even second. The reason why I bring this up is I got into a trap of checking my portfolio every few seconds while the markets were running, which is my evening time. And so it's after 6:30, and it would generally be my time with family. And I found myself being so distracted and checking on my portfolio every 2 seconds, literally. So that's one of the things. And then the next thing was I was checking on news the first thing I woke up, which meant that my entire day would be controlled
around
by that anxiety. So just wanted to bring this up, that I check on news at 9:30 when I sit on my desk. And the resources that I kind of keep going back to, for no particular reason as such, I think there's once again an abundance of resources, but the two that I really enjoy reading are, one is called Finimize, Finimize. It's a paid tool, but I think it's a nominal subscription amount, especially if you get it over Black Friday or something. And they provide financial news with opinions and insights in a very digestible way. You can read it or you can listen to it as a podcast as well. So I find that quite convenient if I'm driving around, or if there's ever a time where I'm not able to sit and read through articles. So that's one of my favorite resources. And the second one is Yahoo Finance, which I find to be my trusted kind of resource. So.
Yeah, I think there are many podcasts. I think even Wall Street Journal does a daily take. There's lots of such podcasts. And yes. What we can do is also just put in a couple of links within the show notes for our listeners to just get access to. But I think there's even the bigger players, the banks, everyone has research portals that everyone gives an element of free information.
Yes.
So you don't have to be an investor with them to be able to get access to this research. So like the likes of Goldman Sachs, the likes of BlackRock, they have some amazing free information out there, which you can just for the fun of it, open up and check it, you know, now as we are kind of speaking. To kind of get a taste for it and keep track of it and try and build that narrative of the economy in your mind.
Yeah, exactly. And once again, if you find a resource that resonates with you, it's okay to stick with that resource instead of having 50 resources that you're going through every single day, which is not sustainable and wears people out very, very soon. So I think these resources and charts, like we said, take some time to build consistency with. And once you've got that opinion and you've seen your strategy work over a period of 3 plus 6, that is about 8 to 9 months, which is about as long as an economic cycle kind of lasts in the market typically, then I think it comes down to diversification. And we've spoken about this, but let's kind of give some more action-based steps today on how people can diversify.
Yeah, so the definition of diversification is, once again, I mean, I'm repeating this, but it's super important. You want to spread your money and your investments across different types of investments. The reason you want to do that is because no one knows what markets are going to do. So these banks, these investors, you see what SVB's done. I mean, no one knows what's going to happen. Neither does the Fed. If the Fed and all these people don't know, we for sure don't know.
Yes.
And that is why, while you want to be invested, because there is money to be made, you want to have your conviction, you want to invest and have exposure to different types of investments, it's important to spread your risk across different types of investments, because some may go up, some may go down. Last year we had energy and oil and all of that really did well. This year we are seeing tech,
recovering.
Exactly. And you're seeing different types of investments moving in different directions quite a bit, actually. Yeah. And so if you think of a chart or a line that's going zigzag, what diversification would do is flatten that a little bit, and over time it will have to move upwards.
Exactly. And you can think of it as having a flowing river, and you can have like different ways that the river is contributed to. Just a simple analogy for people to understand diversification. It's a big word for keeping things in different baskets, keeping your eggs in different baskets. The way I like to think about it is in 3 steps. Rupali, you're obviously welcome to share your opinion on this. The first one is types of securities. So I'm on my journey to do this myself, but this is just, I think with every step you get more clarity. So the first one is type of assets, let's call it. So we've spoken about this before, but your investment account is not your only investment. So you can have real estate investments, you can have a business that you've invested in, you can have gold, you can have luxury bags, people do luxury bags, paintings, art, all sorts, right? Or of course a portfolio. Within a portfolio as well, you can have stocks, ETFs and bonds. I myself am on a journey to learn more about bonds recently, so that's absolutely fine to start with maybe something that is not as diverse as you would want to get to, but slowly build that into your portfolio. And this is going to be a lifelong journey.
It's ongoing.
So that's number one, which is type of asset. Number two for me comes down to sector, which is more so to do with portfolio. But like Rupali mentioned, even in a bearish year, downward year last year, there have been pockets of the market that have done exceptionally well. And that was the case during the pandemic as well. As you can expect, health stocks did really well during the pandemic. Tech stocks did really well during the pandemic. And while tech stocks came down last year, they are beginning to recover now, but healthcare sector isn't doing so well as yet. And these are big players like Johnson & Johnson, etc. These businesses are not going anywhere. This is just part of the cycle of economic ebbs and flows. So it comes down to that for me as the second step. And the third step, which I haven't personally got to yet, is geographic diversification as well. Not to be totally invested in one geography.
Yeah, I think it's more important today in terms of the geographic exposures that you have, because the past, and sector exposures actually, because the past 10 years have been pretty much the same type of investment that has done well, whereas now that story is changing a bit. And so you want to kind of make sure you're exposed to a little bit of everything to make sure that it smoothens your journey. The path to your return is a bit smoother, but you're still making the money. And I think this really summarizes what we think in terms of an investor. And if someone wants to start, where do you start? Firstly, start with very little pressure on yourself.
Yes.
Secondly, start upskilling yourself, because you do that in life generally.
Yes.
Thirdly, figure out what research portals you like and you enjoy. You've got professional help. You've got the likes of Kalyani doing her passive income masterclass, which then really handholds you through the process.
Yes.
And so that's an excellent way to start. And then the last point, the key point, is consistency.
Yes.
As with anything in life, consistency is really important in this too.
Yeah. And I'm not kind of like bringing everything back to my course, but just to mention the psychology behind it, we've got 3 months of post-course handholding over WhatsApp for this reason, because we found that a lot of people would take one-on-ones or the courses, either not complete the self-paced course at all, or if they've done it, they've not taken even a single trade, which I find totally bonkers once again, because I think I was pretty interested myself and I took it all the way, which is why I'm doing this as a business as well. The whole idea is to make people more confident and actually take the action, you know, that they've spent money, time on learning about. So consistency really kind of builds the whole thing.
I think to end the episode, I'd just like to say that when you want to take steps forward in your life, it's about taking responsibility for yourself, not being in the whole mindset of someone should do it for me.
Yes.
And so a big part of going on board with a coach or a program such as this is about taking responsibility, doing what you're learning, really taking the next steps and doing it. Because any course, for that matter, even a degree, qualification, master's, PhD, does not, after you're done, guarantee you that you're set for life.
No.
You have to take the responsibility and take your next steps. So it's great that you're choosing to make an investment into your learning and all of that, but you have to go, the only way to do it is with the right mindset of then wanting to take the responsibility for yourself.
Yes. And if you feel overwhelmed with all of this, I would say to simply start with a brokerage account, and invest. I think the numbers that you read often on social media is, if you've spent $100 on it, to invest $15 on the product. So basically, if you've bought an iPhone, let's say, religiously over the last 5 to 7 years, you spend what, $700 per iPhone? So at least have 15% of that invested in Apple, as an example. So if this resonates with you, maybe that's a good starting point. And then, because that means that you're literally the customer, a loyal customer of the company that you're buying from religiously over and over again. So you have conviction in the business already. And that shows that it is a widely kind of accepted business, which will continue to do well. So I think with that, we've made it pretty simple for everyone to start somewhere. Hopefully, we'd love to hear back from you, and speak soon next Friday.
Yep.
So please share this podcast, leave your reviews, your comments to support us on our journey. We are so passionate about making your lives more abundant with this information.
So with that, we bring this episode of Our Financial Adventure to an end. Please follow us on all social media platforms at Fintastic Females.
None of the information provided is financial advice, and Fintastic Females is not a financial advisor.
The information provided is educational only. It is general in nature and does not take into account your personal circumstances.
Please use your own due diligence before making any financial or investment decisions.